Blog Talk Radio.
And make love. see today. I know that's gospel. Y'all who don't get that all the time from me, but I've got to play it sometimes, even though we know how things went this weekend. We're going to talk a little bit about that later. But right now, let me bring in my co-host. What's going on, brother?
Man, how's it going?
It's going okay. Despite what happened this weekend, everybody knows the situation, you know, how that went. Besides that, everything has been fine. I actually had a chance to go do some things. I went down to St. Louis and kind of danced my way through the weekend. Had a great time and did that and all that. So I'm sure you had a good time down in the Texas area.
Man, it's too damn hot to have any good time unless it's so hot down here, Red Man. My God.
You know, I know. It was supposed to be that. They changed my dates again. You know, the government is something else. They always do that to you. But my dates are supposed to be now the 12th to the 19th of August, something like that, or 16th of August, something like that. So we'll see. We'll keep you informed. 1 week instead of two now, I guess the sequester and the furlough is really doing it in. So, but anybody out there listening right now, we got the number. The number is 347-215-8539. It's Word 60 Radio, Grown Folks Radio for those who didn't know. And we got a number here. I'm going to check and see if this is our guest. We have two guests coming on this evening. Let me see if this is one of them. It's a 443 area code. State your name and where you're calling from.
This is Thomas Long, brother. How's it going?
How you doing, my brother?
I'm good.
We're glad to have you, and you're definitely one of the guests on the show. So, D.D., go ahead and say hi to Thomas.
Yo, what's good, man?
All right, what's going on, my brother? What's good?
Well, we're glad that you were able to make it, and we're glad that you're here. We're supposed to have another guest as well. Okay, well, we're going to definitely get a chance to talk to you. We're going to get you going and get everybody, know who you are and you know, give them a chance, you know, for you to get yourself out there. So we'll go ahead and do that right now. We'll let you go ahead and start that by telling everybody who you are and what you got going on.
Oh, man, who am I? I'm Thomas Long. I've been in the literary field since what? Can you hear me?
Yeah, you
yes,
good,
we got you. Yeah.
Okay, because I was hearing a little feedback on the phone there. Let's see, where do I start this journey at? I've been in the urban fiction field since 2004. I've been around out here putting out books. I started out with my first book, A Thug's Life, published by Urban Books. Moved on to Cash Rule to Papa Don't Preach. I've done a whole series, a host of anthologies with some of the biggest name authors in the business now, Around the Way Girls 2, Around the Way Girls 3. I just released my newest book, which is called Money Kings, which is part two to my book, Just Like Daddy. That's a banger that came out. And I have something explosive that's coming out within the next 2 weeks. It's a book that's called Unconventional Love. I thought it was appropriate for the format for the Word Sexy Radio Show. Because it's very
interesting. And we're going to let you do your shit. We're going to let you do your shit. So, you know, and just so you know, this is Word Sexy, and this is Grown Folks Radio, so you can say what the
that's
fuck
right.
You want to. Just want you to understand that. So, you know what you're
doing. Well, this book right here is nothing but for the grown folks.
Okay.
I made this book to be a man's fantasy, every man's dream.
Okay. Now, we're going to let you talk about this shit right now. So, go ahead.
Okay, this book right here, basically, Unconventional Love. It started out as two erotic short stories that I want. One called Getting It In. That was the first part with a brother. He's a
Very appropriate. Getting It In. We all want to do that shit. I know
no,
I always want to get that shit in. So, you know.
But, you know, he's a the brother's name is Derek Prius. He's a physical trainer, you know, pretty much. And, you know, given his profession, he pretty much has the pick of the litter of some of the most beautiful women that he could come across. And he happens, with his profession, he takes advantage of it. You know, it's only fair that he would take advantage since it's available to him. And he finds himself in a situation. He's involved in a relationship with another female who's as adventurous as he is.
Church.
And so he decides to invite a third person into the bedroom.
Yes, sir. Then he's the tabernacle. I got to give you that one, too. Go ahead.
And once he invites this third party into the bedroom, a young lady by the name of Bianca, it just pops off from that point on. You know, what happens, brother, having that menage one time is a fantasy. Well, for this brother, he don't just have the fantasy. He gets the whole place.
Well, you know, this show might be interesting if the other guest doesn't call in, who is a female who I'm pretty well cool with. If she can hold her own as well, but if she doesn't call, it might be a brother's night tonight, because we, I don't know if Cotton is in the area or not.
We don't get
like
too many.
But we don't get to
do that. I thought you would enjoy that one.
Yeah, of course. All right. So yeah. And I don't know, you've been around for a while. I've been keeping it with you off and on over the years. And, I got a few books out myself. And I have been writing since, I think, 2009 is when I actually published my first novel. But I've been writing, of course, longer than that. Not when I was 5 years old or eight and shit, when I was in elementary school, like some of these authors who said they've been writing ever since.
They put their first book out when they were six.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, all
they've been writing
shit.
Since
you know,
they came out the womb.
Exactly. You know, it's nothing like that. But, I'm getting around, and getting it in is definitely something that I am very interested in. So we definitely want you to go in depth in that and tell everybody as well, how they can get that book as well.
Oh, they're all available. You can all get them all. First of all, when this Unconventional Love comes out, you can get that off of my website. And any of my other titles and find out all of my releases that I do have out on my website is www.tlongwrites.com. TLONGWRITES.com. Or you can also Google my name or pull up my author page on Amazon, Nook, the iBook store, Kobo, any type of e-reader you can think of. Just put in Thomas Long and it'll pull up my list of titles that I have available.
I know that's right. You know something, Thomas, it would be an honor, and I think D.D., if he might be interested, it would be an honor if all of us, like six, five of us brothers got together. Or maybe, however many you think the number would be. Of course, I would let you spearhead this. And we could just write this erotic novel, put together as maybe like an anthology of erotic shit, getting it in, putting it in the ass, whatever. You know, just writing some shit and put it out there. I would be honored to be
putting it in the ass,
you know,
novel.
The second part is called Good Woods.
Okay, there you go. So if you ever need a brother or a couple of brothers that will potentially help you write some shit, just let us know. We are available.
Absolutely. That's not a question. Collaboration is always a good thing.
All right. DB, I know you got some questions for him. Go ahead and give it to him.
Right.
Absolutely.
Like, you've written under several different imprints. All right.
Yes, sir.
Like, basically independent, mm-hmm. and you know, the top of the
urban
ladder.
Book.
So, right. Which one do you prefer and why?
Honestly, I would say the independent, and the reason being, like I said, I've done things under the urban book. I'm not knocking it because it just opened, it opened up a lot of avenues for me. Because it gives you a wider fan base and distribution network to have going through someone that's distributed by a larger house such as Kensington, which is an asset. But I say, as far as an author, as an artist, as a creative person, the independent route is a much better route to go, particularly today with this digital age, with Amazon, CreateSpace, and so many different print-on-demand that are available to the author. If you put out some good product, it's up to you to make what you can make out of your career. As opposed to, for one, I like it as an independent author because, say, if I want to put a book out every 3 to 4 months, whenever I feel like, I want to just throw out a short story before I drop my novel, I can do that at my leisure, at my discretion. Whereas when you're signed to a major, you're restricted to that maybe one book a year or two books a year, and that maybe that anthology that you can throw in there before your book comes out. You're more
right. Okay.
And not only that, you got an opportunity as an independent today to make a lot more money than you would if you were signed to a major.
That's
right.
True.
Yeah, I like that. I'm glad to hear it coming from a seasoned author as yourself, sir, because the deal is a lot of people think that they have not been successful unless they have signed with a mainstream company, and I don't believe that.
That's not the truth at all. Nah, that's not the truth at all, because, like I said, many of the majors, if they're going to be honest, if you're going through being independent, if you're just taking the e-book route, you don't have to go through the struggle of getting the money. Amazon money
right.
all the time.
Right, exactly. It's showing the fuck is. I ain't gonna lie, because I see a damn check every 90 days. But anyway, yeah, it's like that. So, you're right. I mean, when you do it that way, I've always, my whole publishing career has been independent publishing, so I know that I like that. That aspect of being able to choose, and pick and choose when I want that book to come out and all that, or even the covers and stuff. And I try to, be a little different. Sometimes companies will try to put you in a a box of what they think you should present yourself because of the type of genre it is. Have you ever fell into that arena?
Exactly. Because if you, for example, and that's the thing, I have an issue with a lot of authors today. When you think about it, it's one thing. It's like I started out writing urban fiction for Thug Life, but that's not all I write. Well, actually, my first book that I self-published was actually a self-help. It was one. My first book was a book of spoken word poetry called Reflections of My Soul. The second one was for my sister's Seven Relationship Tips, which is a self-help book. In other words, and then I branched off into the urban fiction, and then I branched off now into the erotica. So what I'm saying to say is then also writing some relationship-related type of books with a good theme to them. A lot of authors pigeonhole themselves in one box of writing one genre, and they get stuck there. To me, you get to a point of, that's why you see so many books of people writing sequels, part three, part four, part five. Me, you'll probably never see me write more than a second. Like what I did in my book, Money Kings, is a sequel to my book, Just Like Daddy. You'll probably never see me do more than two books in a sequel. I get bored writing three, four books along the same line about the same character. I need some creativity.
Right.
I like to write different topics to write outside of the box. That's why when I did Unconventional Love, I said, now what's something crazy, spicy, that's interesting that people going to want to read?
Yeah, I hear you, man. You know something? My thing is this, and I like that you have a variety because you don't want to get stuck in one genre of writing. I like to write about sex. I like to write about all that. But, you know, I do try to put some other pieces to it, like the paranormal piece is very, very, a very way, I think a great way to put in sex. And you can do it beastie. I ain't talking with animals, but if your animal is a werewolf and he gives him buzzy, you know, then or a vampire or some shit, you know, there's nothing wrong with doing it like that because, you know, it's with the vampire seed. Exactly. And, you know, my thing is yeah, you're right. My thing is you know, that is a sexy thing anyway. They always had Dracula and all this way to seduce women to get the blood from them and all that. It's always been sensuous anyway, so why not have it? As he bit the bitch, he stuck her in the ass. You know, I like that ass shit. But anyway, you know, I'm just saying, that's why he fucked her, you know, whatever, you know. And they want to hear that. They want to read that shit.
That's right, exactly. The warranty of the Benedict.
Yeah, you know, it ain't always gonna be clean like something. Now, if you're looking for romance,
but see, I'm gonna tell you something. The ones that say they don't want to read it, those are the biggest ones. Download them 99-cent e-books, reading them on the train.
Yeah.
Those are the main ones. Download those books. The ones that say they don't read it,
right?
They speaking to do it.
I know. Yeah.
You know what? I love about most what you said is that you don't want to pigeonhole because this is the thing that I'm finding out. I'm finding out a lot of people, you know, who write a specific genre, whether it be romance, whether it be urban fiction, whether it be erotica, they stay in that particular range simply because, well, they like, well, I don't know anything else. Well, this is what I know.
Well,
this is what I see. This is what I do.
Comfort zone.
But wait, and that it is. Because that's just like, and I tell people this. I said, look, that's just like Malcolm or Martin saying, well, you know, I'm so used to Jim Crow, I don't know nothing else. So I'm going to just go ahead and roll with it. You know, you basically have said, I quit, that I don't know nothing else, so I'm going to just go ahead and do nothing else. And that upsets me greatly, when you have all of these people who were built upon civilizations thousands of years ago that taught math and philosophy, top of the world and all of this. And so you settling for the bottom of the barrel. You don't want to know any better. So, I mean,
but see, today you
got
to realize something today. I noticed this is a trend from when I first got into writing and today. You don't have, how can I say this in the right way? You don't have storytellers.
Say it your way.
I mean, how can I say it? Between a storyteller, a writer, and somebody who can write action scenes and put them together and call it a book. It's a big difference between somebody who does character development, who has a consistent storyline that you can follow. They throw twists and turns in it, as opposed to just writing action scenes and throwing it together in a quick 120, 130-page book and you calling it a novel.
Yeah,
you got a lot of
that
today. It's not the same. To me, it's a lot of these, I call them writers. I don't call them authors because they haven't learned the craft enough to even put out a product, to me, honestly. I don't think that they should.
Right.
That's just my opinion, and it's my opinion. I'm excited to that.
But there's nothing wrong with that because, you know, like right. I said, you've been in the game for a minute. You know what's up. You know what to look for. You know what's out there. You know your struggle, what you had to do to get to where you are. And a lot of people, they're not feeling that now. So, you know, a lot of times we hear mainstream authors, they might say some things like, well, I had to go through this hard way to get there, blah, blah, blah. To a point, I agree with them. But then again, because of the way technology and the way things are now,
right.
You know, you can put shit out there. I mean, anybody can write something now. I mean, it used to be.
And that's a good,
you know,
and that's a good and a bad. It's a good and a bad
right.
to that. Because when you say anybody
right,
can write,
right.
your cousin Joe,
yeah.
who don't know nothing about writing a story, long
right.
as he can access a computer and knows how to format some words, he can put it out
right.
and call it a book. And that's the problem.
Yeah.
Like right now, I'm seeing the market is just saturated with so much material.
Right.
There you
and
go.
A
you
lot
know,
of
we,
it is
we talk about this all the time
good.
On the show.
Right,
right,
it's not
right.
good. It's not edited.
Right.
I mean, it's like something that a third grader would write.
And
right.
and that's what we talk about on the show all the time. There's no process. There's nothing. There's no one that we can go to and they can say, hey, you need to edit this book. You need to do this, that, and the other, you know.
Oh, the editing game now is, man, it's horrible because everybody's calling themselves an editor.
Yeah, everybody knows how to edit, but they don't know how to edit.
Right.
Yeah, let me add this to it. A lot of these people now are using the fact with the Ebonics and all that they're writing in these books saying that it don't need to be edited because it's urban fiction. And I disagree
now,
with that.
Now, I made a statement on Facebook a few weeks ago. Just because something is urban, urban and illiterate are not synonymous.
Right.
There you go.
Just because you hood does not make you illiterate. Because
well,
I can give
you
a ton of gangsters
that
can
one.
Debate with the greatest scholars in the world. And all of that
yeah.
English is not broken. Now, I can
right.
give you gangsters that got college degrees. So just because you say it's hood does not mean it has to be illiterate and retarded.
But
so
how much backlash you get from that?
They use that
anytime,
as an excuse, though.
Anytime people want to speak
well, that's
truth,
called being lazy, and
hear.
That's why I say I don't really respect that.
Right.
I mean, I'm a no-cut-no-cause type person. I'm going to tell you if the story is garbage, I'm going to tell you that it's garbage.
Right. Yeah, and I agree with that. I mean, if it is,
then,
it is.
But then you can't do that because then you'll be labeled a hater.
Right,
you know,
and
right.
I was about that. I was like, how much backlash did you catch from that?
Oh, I'm a hater, but I laugh at that because it's the stupidest. I hate that word just like turned up today. I mean, people use the word hating. Hating to me is you hating on somebody has something that you don't have. There's nothing materially that another man has everything materially that I want, I get. If I haven't got it, I'm going to get it. There's nothing
yeah,
another
you,
man wants that I got.
They also tell you
envious.
They also tell you you're a hater when you want something better than what they already have. Anytime you want better for other people, it's not altruism anymore. Now you're hating on them.
Well,
right.
Like I said, that's why you got a dictionary to define the words and what they really mean. So there's a difference between somebody hating on you and somebody giving you constructive criticism and can base
yeah.
what they're saying about your work and give you the foundation and show you where your work is lacking at.
Right.
When I have an author who's putting a book out tell me that they need to take an English class because they're writing a story and they don't know where it's going, you shouldn't be writing a book because you haven't even gotten a foundation there. And these are books that are on the Amazon bestseller list. I mean, because
right.
this is stupid to me. And I'm not saying
yeah.
it to be mean or trying to hurt nobody's feelings.
No.
If you got to
no.
tell me that you need to go take an English class, you haven't even gotten character. You haven't even got author 101 down yet.
There you go.
I don't care how many downloads you got, because you got a bunch of fools downloading books out here, and they just downloading it just because there's some words on some paper and something to read while they're on the train.
Right.
Right.
And they'll tell you it's the best, and they'll fight you. If somebody disagrees and tells you, well, this is not good because this isn't, and the other, they will fight you. Like, literally come to, you know, tell you you ain't shit, you don't know shit, and you ain't going to be shit.
Right.
Well, you know, I don't care nothing about none of that stuff because it doesn't matter.
It doesn't
matter to me. I've been around long enough that stuff don't even affect me. If I
right.
say something,
right.
I'm not saying it just to be hate. I ain't got to hate
just
on nobody.
Just to be saying it.
Right. I ain't got to hate on nobody. I've been around the game long, been around with the best from the beginning, have respect from
right.
the best. So I don't have to hate on nobody. If anything, I'm trying to give
absolutely.
You a lesson or something, because you've probably
right.
got a lot of people who are publishing that are giving these new authors bad information because they don't know.
Right,
it's
right.
the blind leading the blind today.
Right. And see, my thing is, going back to something you said earlier about writing in certain genres and saying that they, I don't know if it was you or DV, but saying that you can't write about nothing else because you don't know anything else. The purpose of being an author is to be able to take something that you don't know about and make it believable and put it in words. I mean, why do you have to know something to write about it?
You just had a mouthful right there because that stuff is so unbelievable. It's ridiculous.
Exactly. You know, we use them all the time. Right. Huh? They say, how do you write about things that you don't know about? Well, you write about killing somebody. If you never killed anybody and you make it believable, then you can do it. I mean, that's what fiction is all about. If you're writing about fiction, that's what it is. People trip when they trip me out when they say that shit about that. You know, it just blows my mind. Well, I can't write about this because I don't know about that. I can't write about the hood because I don't live in the hood. Well, I mean, damn. Do some research. That's what you're supposed to do. If you want to write about some things, you research about it and find out enough so that you can make it believable in your character development and in your process. And I understand exactly what you mean with that. A lot of people, they do all these things, and they just, you know, they said it's a comfort zone for them. But let me put this plug out real quick and let you keep going. We got Thomas Long on the show. This brother is phenomenal, and I'm glad that he came on the show, and I'm glad he has to be here because we got him on Word Sexy, and he's fooling all of us this evening. So if anybody want to call in and talk to him or say something, or even do something in the chat room, the number is 347-215-8539. This is Word Sexy Radio, Wrong Folks Radio, and we say what the fuck we want to right here on this show. So... All right, so here we go. We're back with Mr. Long. All right, sir, so, you know, give us more of your wisdom and all of that because, you know, although I've been writing, publishing since 2009, I have 15 books, but I don't know everything. I want to learn. I want to keep learning and craving and going forth. So
well, that's the thing that you can give me, I'm going to take. We learn from each other, my brother. Because, like I said, I took a break. I took a break for about 3 to 4 years from writing because I got frustrated with the industry, the business side of the industry. Start fresh. So when I come back, the ebook thing is jumping off now. So that was like a new experience for me to learn. I had to go to some of my more seasoned author friends to get some knowledge and feedback on that. So it's a process for everybody.
Right. Yep, and I understand that. But, you know, like I said, the thing is we always say this all the time on this show. If you're writing to get rich, then you don't need to be in this business. Because you can't get there, but you got to love writing to do this.
Define rich by the standards that some people in urban fiction define as being rich, they are rich. $100,000 is rich. So I guess so. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's a federal GS grade, but okay.
I am a federal GS employee, so yeah.
Exactly. You get where I'm going with that.
I get you, trust me. So that's what I'm saying. But you know, like you said, if you ain't got shit, and that's
you
all
ain't
you
broke.
Know, and that's what,
you ain't broke,
that
but
ain't
you ain't rich.
Exactly. There you go.
Exactly.
There you
you're
go.
Comfortable.
Yeah.
You comfortable.
Yeah. But
I think was it you rich, but you ain't wealthy. That type of deal.
No.
Well, it depends on what you define as wealth. We can take it there as well. I mean, it depends on what you call wealth. Because, like you said, $100,000, if you're making six figures a year, you can do a couple of
million. $100,000 is money to you if you've never seen any money before.
Right. If that's all you've got is $100,000.
Right. Right. Which goes back to the point. You rich, but you're not wealthy.
Okay. If you can define that a little bit.
The thing is, everything is subjective. The capacity, the amount of money that you have, you know, we always base what we have based on what we don't have. All right?
Thomas, before we go further, I'm going to let him keep talking because this is the intellectual side of the show. This motherfucker.
I want to hear this one. He's a great breakdown.
I got to hear this one.
You know, I like how y'all, you know, just drum it up. To this point, no, but my point is this, that we don't, as black people, we've been on the bottom rung for so long that ultimately when we come into money, we automatically think that is wealth, and it is not. Wealth is when you actually own something that is generating money so that you don't have to work any longer. That becomes wealth. Or when that you can pass that along to your family rather than once you stop, it stops generating money. That is wealth. Other than that, you are simply rich. You have
the
money
to do the things
that you want to do.
I just said, but see, when you say rich, that's kind of another step towards wealth.
Right.
Richard,
it
that,
is,
that's,
but
that's,
it,
I mean,
it's
can
not
you
the
honestly
apex.
Classify something in the six figures as rich?
You could be making $30,000 a year off a book and consider that rich. But what I'm saying is, if it is not generating anything other than what you're, put it this way, if you have a job every day that you have to go to, that you have to make ends meet, you may be making six, seven figures a year. But that just makes you rich. When you own that facility, when you own that and other people are either working under you or it's generating money by itself, so much so that you can pass that along to your family and they'll be well, then that is well.
Okay.
And that's the only thing I was saying.
Okay, I got you. But see, they take it to another degree.
The intellectual side of words, sexuality.
You know, I wasn't trying to, you know, out-talk nobody or disrespect
oh,
nobody.
Oh, no,
it's
no,
just
no.
That,
we
men.
We are men.
You are men. Yes. Yeah, we can take that. Yeah, that's no problem.
Absolutely.
But and that's why I'm trying to get this damn chat room, to people to say something in the chat room or somebody call in, because we want to weigh in on anything that we talk about tonight. It's not just necessarily talking about his books, because we're going to get back to that. You know, when he wants to talk about that. But the thing is we talk about all kinds of shit on here. We might even get on that damn verticulator. I mean, it's a 2-hour show. If the brother got time, he can stay here. We can talk shit all motherfucking night. At least till 10 o'clock. But anyway, but my thing is, you know, I like that philosophy of wealth and wish, because everybody's concept of that is different. So, you know, that's his concept. I got that. Okay. So being in the game, you met and seen a lot of different authors and people, and I'm sure you've seen, especially not just urban, but you hear this a lot with the urban fiction side of things, how people have taken stuff and gotten over on others, all this kind of shit. I'm not going to say no names unless you want to. We can. I don't give a fuck. But my
thing is, you know what it is, though? You know, I don't do that, because you have a lot of authors that do that. That's when you get into that space of becoming bitter and dwelling.
Right,
I take it all
right.
as a learning experience and move past it, because like the bottom line is I'm doing my own thing now. Those are mistakes that I made then that I'm not gonna make again.
That's all.
So I don't need to hold no grudges. Every knock is a boost to me.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Because
all
you know what?
Just
jump in, like just one thing, because we always have people listening who don't know the pitfalls. They hear about them, but they don't know about them. So could you share with us? At least one of the pitfalls that you had that you know now better than you knew then.
Well, I won't even call it a pitfall. One of the pitfalls I see so many authors have, it wasn't a pitfall for me, because they don't read their contract. They don't even know what's going on. They don't know how to read a royalty statement.
Say that again.
Go ahead, Red. We need to hear this. Let my man finish. We need to hear this, because contracts are big. We've heard about them all the time. So go ahead and speak.
They don't understand. For example, they don't understand reserves in a publishing contract. Say if your publishing company ships 20, say your book comes out next month, and they ship out 25,000 copies of your book to all of the stores. There's a reserve within your contract. Some contracts may do 25% of those or 50% of those. So you're talking about 12,500 of those are held in reserve, meaning the royalty generated for those are held in a reserve account for a protracted period of time. Could be a year, could be 18 months, just however the publisher laces that terminology in the contract. So you have this reserve of money that's sitting here. When the royalty time comes, you know, you're getting paid for those other 12 and a half that shipped out. These are sitting here in reserve. But see, most authors haven't read their contract to know within a year, if it says within a year, that reserve, if they haven't been returned, should be liquidated, and that's money, more money that you should get. That's more royalty money that you've already earned, because those books haven't returned. They're considered as being sold.
Interesting. They need to.
There's so many aspects that they never read. What type of rights they have, whether or not you had a publisher who signed you to a contract, and you don't understand. They don't have. They may have the print rights to your book, but don't have the ebook rights to your book. It's just reading all of the, which means you can still put the ebook out, which means you just basically have to read the fine print of these contracts to understand what's really in them. But you have all, like
right.
I said, that don't know how to, they get royalty statements every 6 months, but don't know what they mean.
Right.
They don't know what returns are.
I think if you could hit a little bit touch on as well, like with covers, a lot of times with these ISBN numbers and stuff, a lot of authors that, like you said, they're not reading the contracts. They don't understand that if they do leave a company for whatever bitterness or whatever the case may be, you know, that ISBN number does not go with them. It does, that cover does not go with them. I don't care if they designed it themselves. If it belongs to that company, it's that company's.
Absolutely.
See, a lot of people don't get that. And that's why we like to have authors that have been around the game as long as you have, that can tell people things and let them see. Because we want to help them be successful. And, you know, and I'm glad that you said that being successful in this business does not necessarily mean you have to have a contract with a mainstream company.
Absolutely not. You define your own, like you said, same way you define wealth, you define your own modicum of success. For example, you may have an offer signed to a major who could sell 40,000 paperbacks, but he's only getting $1 a book. You have the independent author who can sell 10,000 books independent, and he made 60,000.
Yep.
Now you have 40,000 sold one way and 10,000 the other one, but you made $20,000 more. Which one do you think is winning?
Oh, you know. Let the math tell it.
So you had to weigh the pros and the cons of it, because if you're independent, this means you have to do a little bit more work with it.
Work.
My thing is, if it's your product, I don't have a problem doing work for something that's mine and that I own.
That's right. Well, see,
and at a certain point in the game,
people,
I think every author should strive to work towards that independent angle.
But you know what I think, and also, and I'm going to see if you agree or not on this, a lot of people don't understand that even if you're with a mainstream company or not, you still got to get out there and market yourself, because they don't do that. And a lot of times they think that, well, they're going to put my book in the Walmart, they're going to put my book in bookstores, blah, blah, blah. They may do that, but you can get those consignment deals yourself and still be able to do all that. And you still got to get out there and, like you said, work your product. If you love what you've done and you put it out there, shouldn't you be the one that's out there marketing it? You got a lot of ways to do something out there.
If you look at publishing, not just in urban fiction, but just in publishing today and publishing 10 years ago, that's a generational gap in publishing today. As opposed, that's one downside of the ebook side of things, because you can upload your book easily to Amazon and get a royalty check every month. But at the same time, they don't understand the grind and putting your book out there in the paperback and going out there meeting people and laying that foundation
right
with people that,
man, you ain't never
lied
about
reach
that.
You shake your hand and know that you're real and you're a person that. They
right
buy your product, they're going to come back and buy that paperback back again.
Yeah, they buy the person.
Absolutely.
E-books are good, but if you're a real avid reader and you got a favorite author, you like that autographed copy that you can put up on your shelf.
There you go.
I say
and
it like
right
this as a father. If I leave my legacy of my work, what I'm going to show my son 10, 15 years ago, I'm going to bring him a Kindle. You know what I mean? I'd rather him have my physical book with my name on it, so he can say, "This is my father." That Kindle probably won't work when he's grown.
You're right.
Probably be burned out by then.
By then, it'll be like, you know, we'd be touching air. You know what I'm saying? It'll be just a hologram
right
in front of us.
That's what I'm saying.
I say it
like that. And see, but see, a lot of the younger authors, they don't understand the aspect. They take it as the older authors are a little bit bitter. And some may be and some may not be, but in it, it's wisdom in it one way or the other. I think both can learn from each other.
But everything
right
is built on the concept of something before it. But
absolutely,
word of mouth has always been here. And, you know, when you're out there preaching your book and telling people about your book, that's the experience that they will never get reading the back of your book. So they're essentially buying to what you're selling them, not what the back of the book is telling them. And that, man, that makes people come back to you. That makes people, you know, walk up to you and be like, "Remember me from so-and-so?" You know, and that is, God, that is one of the best things ever.
Even though I was signed to Urban, I got my own book that I would hit the hair salon, barbershop, work. If I'm getting gas at the gas station, I see some women, I'm at them.
There
what
you
type
go.
Do you read books? What type of books you read? Boom. You know what I mean? I'm a hustler. I mean, I point blank, I'll go out and get mine. I'm not going to sit back and wait on a check. That's not me.
Yeah. Well, you heard it right here on Word 60 Radio. We got Mr. Thomas Long, who is schooling us tonight in the literary game, a world-renowned author who's been around for quite some time and doing it. If you want, if you got any questions for him, you want to give him a call here. The number is 347-215-8539. This here is Word Sexy Radio, and we're going to be talking shit as we continue on going on, because in the second hour, which will be starting in 19 minutes, we're going to get into another subject, and we'll be talking about it. If Mr. Long wants to stick around, you know you're welcome to do that. Well, also, I got a call right here. I'm going to see if this person has a question. Calling from 816 area code. State your name and where you're calling from. If you do not have a question, do not hang up. Okay. Sometimes we get that, Thomas. We get people, they just want to listen, or they just, they freeze up when you come, when you let them in. And sometimes they'll hang up and shit. It might be. I don't know. You know, we just. I'm glad you came on, because you're schooling me, bro. If nothing else, I'm getting schooled. Because it's always good to learn. I'm a learner. I like to learn. You know what I'm saying? I like to learn about things and find out what's going on out there. Yeah. So, you know, I ain't too old. You know. Yeah. So, indeed, you know, we talk about this all the time on the show. We have different authors that come on and they tell us about what they're doing. And everybody seems to try to follow what everybody else is doing because they think it works. But I think if you come up with your own concept sometimes, it'll definitely get you a different light on things, and it'll help you to do something that everybody else isn't doing. So can you kind of give us
my focus now is more so moving these books more into the mainstream, and to be it doing the DVD, straight to DVD or going to movies. Because my first book, I already had that turned into a full-length feature film. Now my thing, so I've already done that, so now my thing now is to try to duplicate that now as an independent and just to work towards. Because this, after this many years, there should have been more books made in the films by this point.
You're right. And, you know, everybody thinks that that's the next thing of I guess, on everybody's plate, those that are out there getting a book into a movie. You know, everybody wants to do it. And here's a question that I know you have been getting for years, and we all have as authors that are here on the show. When people come to you and they say they want to write a book, you always get this, you ask them, well, what do you want to write about? And they say, I want to write about my life. What do you think about that?
I give them a response, just write.
Okay.
Just simple as that. If you want to write a story, don't tell me that. Write the book, and when you finish, tell me about it then.
Because
everybody wants to do something. I want to be president.
Right. Right. I hear you, my thing just me is when they say that to me, a lot of times I say, well, and I agree with you, tell them to go ahead and write. But the thing is I have to find out, so what is good about your life that I need to know about it? You know, come with something or give it to me in such a manner that makes it different from everyday life. Because everybody's life can be a book, can be a story if they want it to be, but it's how it's presented or how it's given to me. So, you know, I
tell the sincerity and purpose of an author by what they're willing to do to get their work out in the public. Because my thing is this, with the avenues like Amazon, Nook, and all the other digital formats and they print on demand, if you really about your product and believe you got a strong enough product to push, you have a market out here where you can push it yourself. And if you really believe in it, my thing is just put your money where your mouth is. Invest in yourself. Put your own book out.
Yeah.
Because with print on demand, you can start printing 50 books.
Yeah.
Sell them 50 books. Take those profits, flip them again, buy 100.
There you go.
You know what I mean? If you're really about your product, don't be sitting here saying, I want to submit this to a major. Because majors ain't really, they're not kicking out the money like they used to do 5, 10 years ago.
Nope.
You better bring something spectacular to the table, have a proven sales history that you can show to a major, because they're not trying to risk their money.
It's just like the music business, the literary game. A lot of people don't understand. It's just like the music business. How many units you can sell and all that will determine whether you get with it if you just have to go mainstream. But like you said, you got the indie thing that's going on with the books, with the music, with all of that. You don't even have to go that route. And it doesn't define you on how successful you are. Because there's a lot of people who write, never written for anything, and have movies that are major books. Like, we can look at Precious and all that. I mean, you know, it wasn't the greatest movie in the world. It wasn't a bad movie, but it was a book that was independently written that was put into a movie. So, I mean, you know, the things are, you know, it can be done. But like you said, it's how much are you willing to make this be what it is the thing. So that's the thing that I try to push to people when they say they want to do all these things. You know, yeah, that's great. You want they want to go the play route. You know, they see Tyler Perry. They want to do whatever. I mean, it's fine, whatever you want to do. But the thing is you have to be able to have the willpower to do that, because it's not a get rich overnight thing. You got to love it, I think, in order to write it. You know,
as an example, when I got my first publishing deal, I went directly to Carl Weber while he was working in his bookstore and gave him my manuscript.
Right.
When I negotiated my movie deal, I approached the brother while we were both working out in the gym. We worked out a movie deal in the gym.
Carl is my... Oh, really? Okay. Well, that's good. Because Carl, you know, Carl is one of my frat brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a good brother. And like I said, you know, everybody don't have the opportunity like you, and you took that and you ran with it and got with him, and you know, and you know, you let him know you were serious. And I think that's really good.
I'm saying that to say when opportunities are dead, individuals are dead, all they can do is tell you no.
Right.
Absolutely. And if they say no, that's not the end of the world. You just keep going until somebody says yes. But the thing is you ain't got to go to nobody. Like we've been saying the whole night, you can do this shit yourself if you just really want to get it out there. But make sure it's a product that's worthy. Don't just put some garbage out there.
Exactly. And it's a lot of that out here right now, I got to be honest.
Yes.
A lot of garbage. I mean, there's nothing. Donald Goins got to be turning in his grave right now.
Yeah.
Some of these.
Yeah.
I mean, I look at like him and Iceberg Slim, who wrote realistic street stories about people to anybody, everybody. You grew up in the inner cities, in the hood. You say, I know somebody like that. Well, that's me. I can remember me in that character. When I see some of these characters and some of these storylines, oh my gosh.
So why is it that it's always a drug dealer who got caught, he went to jail, he comes back out of jail, his woman didn't change, turned all this stuff over to his rival drug dealer, and he got to come back and get all his shit back or whatever? Why is it always that story?
Well, I've seen some more fantastic than that, so I've just seen some stuff.
I know.
This should be called paranormal.
Damn, really? Wow.
I don't know what streets did that stuff happen in. But
damn,
it's so unrealistic. It's just like wow. But I don't blame the authors as much. I blame the readers for accepting it.
Exactly. Like I said, I always bring this up. DD's gonna get mad because I always bring this shit up. But you know, fiction is fiction, right? Whether it's erotic or whatever. But a lot of times, let's just be real. There's a lot of people out here fucking without rubbers and shit. This one person wanted to write a review on one of my books because I didn't take time out to put the rubber on his shit. I mean, when you
that don't always happen. Everybody knows that man. That ain't always happen.
She said it's unrealistic because the motherfucker, there's no safe sex, and everybody, she must have a pussy that's kryptonite because everybody wants to fuck her. It's people out there that got shit like that, okay? That lets me know that she ain't been nowhere. Seen it, or she mad because her pussy ain't like that. How about that? Just being honest, you know. I mean, shit, there's such thing as realistic and none. But you know what I'm saying, right? You know, I mean,
exactly.
It's crazy.
The thing that hurts me most about what we're doing is the lack of initiative. You know, I see a lot of people wanting things, but they won't take. They won't go into the research. They won't go into the study, and they won't. You know, they don't do what it takes to stay at the top of the game. They rather just hang on the bottom rung and be happy with that. Well, at least I got
that.
That's
what I'm saying. Today, the readers are accepting those unrealistic stories.
And that's what...
You're right.
They're buying them by the multitude today.
But the worst part
the
about it
is... That way is do you think the reason is that way is because some of the people are... And I'm not trying to pick on Urban Fiction, but some of the people that are now reading these books, because now they see themselves in it, that they... are picking up books to read now, because before he wasn't getting that. He was just getting people who liked to read, and the people that was in the hood or the streets or people that claimed they wasn't reading erotica or whatever are now doing it. Was doing it behind closed doors, not letting anybody know. Do you think it's because now it's there that they can pick it up, because it's kind of accepted now to be able to pick up an urban book more than it was when Donald Goins and all them was coming out with it? Do you think that now, because of that, is the reason why people are now picking these up? And these people are young, and they really don't know what the literary is that they're reading.
I think it's partially that, and I think you hit on something, but I'm going to take it a step further. When you say they see reflections of themselves, like a lot of you may have a lot of the young people who don't know how to talk proper English. And when they see those books that are not edited with the poor grammar, it's looking like the way that they talk. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
As opposed
exactly,
to reading something
right.
literate. Because in their mind, they haven't learned how to speak proper English or write proper English. So to read it in the book, and just because, like I said, just because you call it urban fiction doesn't mean that it has to be illiterate. Because I think it's,
right.
I'm sure, I don't know if you how many Donald Goins books you've picked up, but I've picked up quite
I've
a
read
few.
Them.
I don't, I,
right, right.
I haven't picked up one that I would call illiterate or dysfunctional.
Well,
I think the editor is all on Western.
Yeah, well, see, that's not what I'm saying, though. Please don't take it as me downing that. What I'm saying is...
Oh, no, I'm not downing
because,
it. I'm saying that that's real,
right,
and that's
right.
what it is.
Right, right. But you know, those books, I respect that, you know, not only because they sorted it out, him and Iceberg Slim and all that, they were writing that stuff. I mean, it was nothing literate about what he was writing, but I think that people are using that as a crutch or a tool to say they're writing early because they're putting the words in there that way. And people that
so
are
we're
reading
saying
this stuff,
I think we're saying the same thing, just different ways.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Right.
Because
you're
okay.
saying,
okay.
I'm,
okay.
saying that say, I'm not saying it to say that it's a good, I think it's a bad thing.
Right,
because
right,
I think
there
it's
you go.
Because now, I don't know, there's a trend now. You have people who are traditionally readers. They're looking at these books that are being written and it's so easy. So many readers are becoming writers.
Yeah, you're right.
The people that you
you're
used
right.
to see who used to have the book clubs or have the groups dedicated to authors reading, they're now writing books.
Yeah.
So they
right.
say they can write it as good as you are. When it used to be, when you came into these genres 5 or 10 years ago, you had to put your best forward to even be able to sit at the table with the best authors out there.
Oh, yeah.
You had to have a complete story now.
But see, I said that on Facebook a few weeks back. I said I guess it's much easier to lower the standard than to uphold it. And
absolutely.
You know, I caught a lot of throwback from that because essentially people are saying, well, you know, well, you don't understand what it is. No, it is. If you uphold a standard, you bring everybody up to where you are. Once you lower the standard, now, what's the point of even having one? Why not just put in a book and sell it for 99 cents to say this is my novel?
Well, that's pretty much what a lot of them are.
You're right. Yeah.
Because they don't understand the craft of telling a story. Making something.
And that's
true. See, I like try not to write stories just to be writing. Yeah, I want to be entertaining, but I try to put some type of subliminal themes and messages in there that touch on some realistic things going on in society. Be it sexuality or social conditions or something. I try to touch on something realistic.
Yeah.
As opposed to just some shoot 'em up, bang, bang action.
Yeah, and you know, another thing too, a lot of people that's out here, and we get some good authors like you sometimes that want to help some of these people, but then you have some, of course, they use it as a way to make money to try to help these people, you know. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying it's negative. It's just that when you got some authors that'll come on and charge you so much money to get you in the right path or whatever. What do you think about all of that? What do you think about it?
A fool and his money will soon part. I'll say this. I don't think if you're going to pay an author who's going to tell you they're going to put you, because they put their name on your book, they're going to make you a star, and you the fool and you deserve what you get. Because a lot of information, honestly, in this day and time, if you know how to utilize Google, there are enough self-help guides out here to put you on the right path.
Absolutely. But they
I mean, I wish I would pay an author to for career guidance.
Yeah, you're right. I mean,
I don't know many times.
Well, what I was going to say was, you know, you're right. What you're saying, but a lot of times I guess people get this thing in their mind, well, Thomas Long helped me, he showed me what to do and everything, and then I guess they want to put it on there, and then they'll say, well, all right, he helped me, and then they'll put your name on their book, you know, maybe you write a little blurb, you know, sometimes people put a little bullet on the book, nice book, blah, 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 Thomas Long, you know, you got longevity, you've been out there, you're big in the game, you know, I guess they want to have that. I don't know what their reasoning for it is. But like you said,
they want microwave success.
Yes, there you go.
They want microwave
and they get
success.
It.
As opposed to you writing a good, taking the time out, they want to rather, I don't know how long it takes you in your process of writing a story. Like for me, instead, if you want to take that 4 to 6 months or however long it takes you to craft your story that you write, as opposed to trying to put out a little story in 30 days that you know is not a fully developed story, to try to put it out just to make some money, as opposed to taking the time putting a complete story together that's good that people can remember 5 or 10 years from now. Not everything you put out, they don't forgot it next week who your characters were.
Right, exactly.
Because all you was really, you was either entertaining them while they was in the bathroom or sitting on the train. And after that, they don't forget about you.
Yep, you're right. You're absolutely correct. Yeah, and like you said, basically what you're saying is you want to have something that's going to last longer than you. Because most times, a lot of these books might be on the shelf if they make it a year.
No, they won't be on the shelf.
Two.
They'll be an e-book.
Yeah, there you go.
That's an e-book. So, they don't see the value in the paperbacks anymore. A lot
right.
of people
don't. God forbid the internet ever go down. Because then you just be asked out, huh? Like, I don't know how to put together a book.
I say do both myself. I say both. Because you got two different revenue streams you can't lose.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's the thing. And I'm glad that you, as a, and I ain't trying to make you feel old or anything in the game, but as a seasoned author.
Oh, no. I've been around. Absolutely.
My thing is you know, I'm glad that you are able to come on here and give us this, because a lot of times some authors will get to a point where they're like, you know, forget it. And get, you know, they probably feel like, why should I try to help these people? They ain't going to listen to me anyway. They're going to put a book out in two weeks. So, you know, but my thing is, like I said, even though I have the amount of books I have out, still does not make me the man in writing.
Right.
I still want to learn and know what's going on. And I know there's mistakes in my books and other things there that I can, but I want to perfect. And I will go back and redo and have done books that I have written already and re-put them out and revise them and do that, because I want the best that can be out there to be out there. I don't if it ain't no more books coming from me, I want it to be that when you do read something from Red, that you enjoyed it and it wasn't flawless, I mean, not flawed or whatever, that, you know, you get what I'm supposed to get out of it and be able to talk about the characters as if they're real people because your character development, that's what I want to get next. Character development to me is very, very damn important. The people, it should be, you know, you, how do you go about your way of doing it? Because everybody has their own way of doing it, I'm sure. But the thing is to me, I agree that I think that character development is a strong part of your book, more than the storyline. But it because the storyline ain't going to be able to go anywhere without the character's characteristics.
I was
going to
say,
so
the character development
drives
the storyline. That
right.
should drive
right.
the storyline. With me personally, when I develop, see, with me, before I even sit down and actually type a book, I pretty much laid out a good portion of it in my head already.
Right,
so,
right.
It's just to go sit down at the computer and type it. I've already come up with
right.
my main characters already in my head.
Absolutely.
Of course, along
mm-hmm.
the process. I, like, for example, being signed to a publishing house where they may require you to do an outline. I never could do an outline because I don't write that way.
Right.
Some people need that kind of structure to write. I like the free flow when I write. I already have the generally perception of how I want to start the story, but then where it goes, it can go in a totally different direction than where I initially wanted to go with it. Something may pop in my head tomorrow. I don't want to take it in that direction. I can take it over here. I could never write outlines.
Man, I'm one of them people, I write an outline, but it's kind of a loose outline. I'm like, I want it to fall in these parameters. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to,
mm-hmm.
you know, deviate from, you know, from this path. Only because when every... As an author, you constantly get an influx of new ideas, constantly.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be in the middle mm-hmm. of writing, and all of a sudden, a new idea pop in. You'll be like, oh, that sounds good. I'll add it. Sometimes
mm-hmm.
what I like to do is write the skeleton before I add the meat. And that's simply, you know, like everybody I know has their own style. Some people just sit down at the computer and type out 100 pages, like, ooh, I'm done. Other people
right.
I know can't do that without, you know, 30, 60, 90 days of research. So,
right.
you know, people have to realize there is no one way to do anything. But
absolutely.
There
right.
is
everybody,
one way to do it right.
You got to do what works for you.
Right.
But I think that but the character, to me, like you said, the character development should be driving the storyline. You know, your characters is how they act going through the shit that you're trying to explain is important. And some people just don't put enough time into that. They just put a character out there. And they, I don't know what the fuck it is. I mean, like you said,
well, that comes back to what I was saying about writing a fully developed story. When you write characters in your books, you should make them people, if your readers reading them books, they're like, oh. Such as, you know how you have those female readers like, oh, my sister
right.
crush
mm-hmm.
your character in your book. Because they related to that character so much because you brought them to life so well inside of that story, they actually thought
right.
you were real. Not right, really. Exactly. They was, you get what I'm saying? It was such a
right.
realistic experience.
Or they know, somebody
they attached
that,
that
character.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And me, I try to make my characters realistic that somebody that readers can relate to. Either you're going to root for them or you're going to root against them. But either way you root for them against them, you're going to understand why they're doing what they're doing.
And most importantly, you keep reading to find out why, you know, what they're about to do next.
Right.
Right.
Or sometimes you just leave it open. They're unpredictable because that's their personality. It's how you, whichever direction you want to make the characters, just make sure you can justify it.
Right. All right. I understand that. Definitely understand that. But
man,
one of the reasons why I'm asking
that
is because
right
I want
there. Think about that.
Not only for myself, but because, but my thing is, I just want people that's listening that's aspiring writers, because we do have aspiring writers that come on. We want to make sure that they understand that this is not some game. If you're going to write, you want to really put out a product that is going to be, you know, worthy of someone reading it. If you want somebody to spend time, taking time to read it, then you should care enough about it that you want to put no garbage out there. That's all. That's why we're asking questions. And we have someone who knows what they're talking about. That's the reason why I am saying all this. So we want to get and pick his brain while he's here. Now, let me see. We got another call. I think there's another author that's coming on. I'm going to bring her in right now. So we're going to get a woman's side of things. So, Erico 513, is this you?
Yes, it is. It's Tiana. How are you doing?
We're fine.
Late black woman. Talk about
a
stereotype.
Woman, that's that. That is it. She is here. She's here. Late, but okay. We got her. No problem, sweetheart. We're glad to have you come in. So what we're going to do is I'm going to introduce you to Mr. Thomas Long. He is our other author that is here. Would you mind saying hello to him?
Hello, Mr. Long.
Hello. How are you? What's your name?
Tiana. Tiana.
Tiana or Tiana? With a T or with a K?
With a T.
Okay. Nice to meet you.
Mm-hmm. Nice to meet you, too.
So, now that we have been talking to Mr. Long about I'm sorry. Say that again, brother.
No, I was saying tell us about your work. Tell us about yourself.
Yeah. Let's do it. Let's hear it from you, madam.
Okay. Like I said, my name is Tiana Levine, and I've been on Red Show before. But this is my second time. I'm so glad that he invited me again.
I'm putting her business out. I think he was a little, he had some in the oven last time you were here.
I was a little worried.
How did that work out? He had some in the oven last time he was here. I'm trying to be nice about it. He was pregnant last time. How's everything going
That's
with
right.
that?
Right, yeah.
You know, I ain't trying to put your business all out there and shit, but yeah, you was pregnant. Check this out, Mr. Law. I was talking to her trying to rap the shit with all my little second voice and shit. She got a baby already. I'm like, oh, no, let me stop. I might have been listening. I hope he's not listening now. But anyway, go ahead, baby. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That's okay. I'm from Cincinnati, and I've been writing my whole life. Enjoy it. I write erotic and romance. Erotica
okay.
and romance. And
so you know where we're going. You know where we're going in a few minutes with the erotica. Okay.
Most of my work.
We'll be talking shit.
You're so silly.
Yes,
most
sir.
Most of my work is multiracial, and it typically features an African American heroine and a non-black hero. So far I have 12 works under my belt. So I've been busy since the last time.
Are they books or short stories? Are they full novels or short stories?
All of them are full except for one.
Okay.
Mhm.
All right. So before we get into this hot and heavy second half that you hear, actually we called in right on time because we're in the second hour, so we can spend time with you, and we're going to talk about this erotica.
Okay.
So you did it correctly, even though it wasn't your intent. All
right,
so it
wasn't, and I'm so sorry.
Man, you don't have to apologize. We were talking like men in the first hour, so, you know, when you get this recording, you'll see the shit we was talking. And then now we have you. So we're going to bring you in. We're going to talk shit about sex. So you know that you were sexy. You've been on here before. You know we talk shit. Make sure your kids are not in the room. And hopefully your hubby's not listening. We're going to get into not only your sexual side, but, I mean, just sex. So, writing erotica and all of that. So, And I'm sure Mr. Long can tell us a lot of things as well on his side of things, because he's written so many different types of books, and he's now dabbling into some more erotica and all that. So, okay. Tell us about your latest endeavor. Tell us about your latest endeavor.
Well, my work in progress actually is the fourth book of a series called The Naughty Sins of a Saint was the first one in that. But my latest, I'm having a little trouble here, and I don't know what that noise is. Maybe
I don't know what it is either. I've been trying to. Now it's gone for some reason. Okay.
Yeah, it's gone.
That commanding voice you have, sweetheart. I don't know what it was. You just knocked that shit on out. Mm. Okay.
I see. Right.
Okay. All right. Okay. Now, hope it don't come back. I said that. Anyway, go ahead.
But basically, that book, the first book that sparked that series is about a main character named Dr. St. Akhenaten, and he's half Korean and half Egyptian, and he's a sex therapist.
And Korean Egyptian.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying, Egyptian. I mean, what the hell?
He got slatted out of the 12-inch dick. God damn. Slatted out of the 12-inch dick. Okay, we got that. Okay.
But anyway, he's a sex therapist, and he's very hardcore.
Oh, sex therapist. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and basically, he's very much into the sisters. That's what he wants. So it's basically about that, and just him going through that and talking about relationships between African American women and as it pertains to us and other people in the world. And there's also a little paranormal in there. He's also a psychic. So that's an aspect that's also explored. So that's what I'm working on right now.
Now that you opened the door in that aspect, how much of that, and I know you get this from your readers all the time, and Tom, I know you do, you as well, how much of this is you and experience that you may have had or want to have? Because we were talking about fiction earlier. It doesn't necessarily have to be something you want to do, but being able to write something so well that you have the knowledge and have done the research on it. So tell us about that.
Well, are you meaning like just in general, or about this book series in particular?
Well, I mean, just you're writing about a biracial guy who is fucking around with his sister. So, how did you come up with the concept?
Well, because, excuse me. First and foremost, most of my stuff is interracial, multiracial. So that was a no-brainer for me, and so I wanted to think of unusual combinations of people because he's an unusual character. His racial combination does exist. It's rare, but it does exist.
I got some. I got some Korean and black kids. I do have. That's why I'm interested. I really do. Yes.
Okay.
That's the reason why I was asking that shit. I do. That's why I'm trying to find out from your side of things. Yeah.
Right, so that's why. And actually, the character, I got him from a dream that I had, and he just kind of looked like that to me. So, that's what I just kind of went with it. So that's how that came to be. It wasn't even something where I was just, racking my brain about it. I just thought that this person that I saw in my dream, he looked like he could probably be that.
And that's good, as you said. And don't take it as negative. I'm not coming at you. What I'm saying is, I think it's a brilliant concept, and it's something that people are not doing today. I mean, they're writing about these light-skinned women and shit, but they always make her look or whatever. There's never a dark chocolate beautiful woman who, to me, chocolate is like kryptonite. When I see chocolate, I fucking fall out and shit. But nobody writes about that. They always write about these light-skinned women. Nothing wrong with the light-skinned women. So don't be calling in and writing me on Facebook talking I'm just bashing y'all. But I'm light-skinned myself, so, I ain't getting none anymore since y'all didn't cut us out, all these dark niggas. Anyway, but back to the concept. I just started inventing this shit, Tom. Anyway, I just wanted to know how you came to the concept. That's all. It was just interesting. That's all. Go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's basically, how that came to be. But as far as my own life, in I think we as writers, we always have our thumbprint somewhere, and sometimes we may not even be consciously aware of it when the process is taking place, but it comes out in one way or another. Now, I consider this man kind of to be, in some aspects, my alter ego. Like, if I was a man, in some ways, this is how I would be a man. So, you know,
Okay, it sounds like somebody's moving around or something outside somewhere, but and we keep getting that fuzz, but I'm trying to keep it as clear as possible, so I apologize for that, because I know it may be bothering you. It's bothering my ass, so. But what I want to do right now while we have a chance is I want to get people, if you want to call in, the number is 347-215-8539. This is Word Sexy Radio, and this is Grown Folks Radio. And like I always been saying, what do I say, DD? We say what the fuck we want to on this show. All right. So we have Thomas Long, and we have, and I don't like to mess up her name. I always fuck it up. That's why I'm not going to say it. So maybe say your name.
Tiana Levine.
There you go. See, she says it better than me anyway. All right. So now, Tom. You don't know how to do this, but since you're such an intellectual gentleman, and I love you, I want you to ask our other guests some questions, and y'all can ask each other a question about something in a literary game, one question apiece, starting out with something that you may have experienced or something like that, or whatever you want to ask the other. And I'm going to let Tiana, I hope I said your name right, Tiana, I'm going to let you ask Thomas a question first, and then I'm going to have Thomas ask you. And you just kind of ask something that became your career or something that you experienced or maybe want to know about writing that you don't know or something that has, you know, been in whatever genre or whatever. So we'll start with you.
Okay. Okay, I didn't know you were going to do this to me, but all right.
We're going to tell you what we're going to do on this show. It's the element of surprise. There you go.
Right.
We never tell you. There you go.
Okay, I can think of a question.
Okay.
Mr. Long, my question is, what type of venues or vendors have you found to be resourceful regarding marketing your work?
What type of vendors?
Yeah, like vendors you may use and resources you may use to market your work.
Outside of Amazon, and you mean as far as just for promotion, or you mean as far as bookstores or book distributors?
I'm talking about as far as promotion.
Well, of course, you know, you always utilize your free promotion with your Facebook, your Twitter.
Wait, I'm sorry. Hold on just a second. Somebody got some Christmas gifts or something
over
there. What is going on around at Franklin?
You know, I don't know because I am not moving. It is
somebody that's calling. I'm not moving either, so I got that
phone to my ear, so I don't know what that is. I just don't know. DD, you ain't giving me a dick sucking that noise. I'm sorry, ma'am. I'm sorry to me for that.
Not tonight.
You know, that shit, I mean, I'm not getting mine done right now either, so I don't know what that could be. It must be Thomas. What are you doing, Thomas?
No, man. I'm sitting still. I'm not even moving.
Okay, Tiana, I'm not going to ask you that question. Okay, so I am going to try to keep the sound from bothering you because we don't want that. And that was gone. I don't know what's going on, but anyway. All right, so let's get back to the question.
Okay, yeah, I was talking about promotion-wise.
Basically, you are the best promoter of your product. You getting out there basically meeting the readers where they're at. For example, what city are you from?
I'm from Cincinnati.
Okay, getting out, meeting the people, being people that work with you, where you go to get your hair done, your hair salon, people that you know, utilizing Facebook, like I said, Instagram, Twitter, doing the research on far as the, because there are quite a few black book distributors that are still available, African-American book distributors that distribute some of the African-American books so that are still around, particularly in the area like where I am, like in the Philadelphia, Baltimore, Virginia, D.C., New Jersey area, there's still some bookstores still around.
Okay.
It's to reach out to them and explain your product and tell them why they should stock your product.
Okay.
But nobody can sell your product better than you.
Interesting. Okay, so was your question answered to did you get what you needed out of that, baby?
Yes, and I was also doing it for other people to hear. But, I mean, I knew that you had some information for me that I didn't know, so I appreciate that.
We understand. Okay, now, Tom, brother, it's up to you to give the question now.
I have a general question.
Okay.
It's a rated PG question. So it's just a question of I had to put that disclaimer in there because see that their minds are already racing all over the place here. Where would you see yourself in the next 5 years in your literary career? Is it more important to you how many units you move or the quality of the work that you put out? Cause when I say that, I'm qualifying it in saying, is it more important to you to sell a lot of books out of the gate when you know it's not your, it may not be your mm-hmm. best work, or is it more important to develop a steady fan base and slowly build your fan base that is more long-lasting and gives you more of a longevity of a career?
You know what? For me, because I try to get better with each book, and my product to me represents me, so I'm very serious about that, and I am adamant about not putting out anything that I'm not proud of to have my name on. So if I only sell one copy of something, as long as I know that I did my best and it was a good work for me, then I'm fine with that. I tend to write outside of the box, so I already know that whatever I put out, it's going to cause possibly polarization, and not everybody's going to be receptive to it. But the people that it is for, as far as people that would be attracted to whatever I'm writing, they will get it, and their opinions hopefully will shine through. But my writing and my work is not reflective upon how many books I can sell, how many places I can get my name splashed, none of that. This is my passion. Besides my family, this is my passion. This is what I get up in the morning to do. I've been doing it since I knew the alphabet, and I plan to do it until I can't anymore. So I can't put out crappy work and be okay with that just for sales or just to make a quick buck or to be in somebody's face, you know, getting some attention on a show. I understand that there are some people like that, but that's definitely not me, and that's not how I roll.
Okay.
Okay, now, VV.
Yes, sir.
I would like for you to give, as you always do with your infinite wisdom, a question to each one of our authors this evening and have them answer it.
Oh, man. See, I ask questions all the time.
And I know that. That's why we want you to do it, man. You want to answer a question? Do you want to answer that?
No.
Okay, then go ahead and give one, then.
That was easy.
Shit. Yeah, there you go. So go ahead and ask both.
See, you could at least prepare yourself. You could have been like, hey, I'm going to ask everybody to ask a question.
I did say that. You just wasn't listening. You probably was, that noise is gone now, so I'm assuming that you're through. So, just go ahead and ask a question.
You see, you sick. All right. All right. You know what? I'm going to ask my question to Red Snapper.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
You're going to what?
Because you are an author on the night show, so I'm going to go ahead and use your words against you.
Okay, do
all right. Based on everything that you've experienced, all right, the good and the bad, what would you say your most, let's say, positive review, how did your most positive review reflect you, and how did your most negative review reflect, inspire you?
Okay, now this question is to the authors, right?
No, it's to you. You wrote that. How did your most How did your most powerful review, your most positive review affect you, and how did your most negative review inspire you?
Okay. To answer the question, my most positive review to me was dealing in the area that we were already speaking on this evening as far as character development. When I get reviews that talk about the characters, how real they are and how they made them feel and how they felt the passion of the things that the people were going through in the book that I wrote, the characters I developed or created, I mean, that to me is phenomenal when someone can take something that I created and believe it to be real in such a manner, and that I was able to give it to them in that way. And when I got a positive review talking about those things, and as far as developing the story and the characters being developed in such a manner, you know, that right there is just like, oh, because every time I put out a book, it's like a new, it's like a, like my first book I ever put out in my life. You know, I treat them all like that. It's not, I have not been in this game long enough to say, and I don't think I ever will be, to think that if I have 30 books out, that, okay, it's just another book. You know, so I look at it like that. That is how I feel about it. The worst review so far is the one that I keep bringing up all the time about the damn condom. You know, I'm writing erotic fiction. It's called fiction for a reason. You're fantasizing. It's a perfect world.
The question was, how did the most negative review inspire you?
It's not to lament on your bad reviews.
Look, I'm going to tell you. Let me explain it. Okay? It
made me feel...
I was pissed the fuck off because it was like, damn, this is just fantasy. Who has time to put on a rubber when you're doing your fantasy? Okay, now in real life, you hope to think to be that way, but this is you're reading, you're enjoying a lifestyle that is, I guess, in her mind, maybe I should take it as a positive because she was so it was so real to her that she felt the rubber was needed. Okay, but I took it in a way that. Damn, man. I mean, this is some great stuff that was going on to lead up to this sexual scene. And then after, and you all you worried about is a fucking rubber. You know, I was pissed about that. But now that I have thought about this and you have me come to this venting mode, I feel that it was so real to her that the rubber was needed, then I shouldn't be pissed about it. Hopefully I answered your question. If I didn't, I'm sorry. Shit. Anyway.
Oh, anyway, I didn't answer your question. F you. Yeah, thanks.
No, I didn't say that, but I could. You know I would. Anyway. All right, so since we all ask each other questions and shit, does any of our guests have any questions for Mr. DVN, who is also an author here, who has three books out? Three phenomenal books. Valentine is one that I have that is very, very phenomenal. Ask him a question, you two, if you like.
What was the name of your, title?
The three books that I have out. One is the last one's the anthology called On Tap. The two that I've written are called If You Don't Tell and Valentine.
Okay. So what inspired your first book?
You know what? I am an introvert by nature. I've always written small things, always put together papers, things like that, always done editing and whatnot for other people, but I never saw myself as an author. It just one day I decided to write a story that was parallel to, you know, a friend of mine's life. It wasn't actually, you know, word for word kind of the story, but it was something that, you know, he had told me, and I decided to make to use that experience and draw a story out of it. When I finished writing it, the first thing I wanted to do was just keep it on my computer because I was like, hey, you know, this is a major accomplishment. I've never written anything this big. I'm going to keep it to myself. But my partner, Melody, basically inspired me. She was like, look, if you've written this grand story and either you write it and get it out, either you tell it and get it out to the world, or you let somebody else do it, and you regret that you didn't take the advantage of it. So, you know, I just went ahead and took the initiative and said, look, I'm going to put this out. I didn't pitch it to really anyone, mostly because self-publishing was new, and I wanted to take that road and prove that this was something I could do without the help of everybody else. So that's the road that I decided to take. And it has done well for me. So the reason why I started writing was mostly just because. There was no rhyme or reason to it. It was just kind of one of those things. I was like, hey, you know, I read a lot. You know, let me see if I can write. But even when I finished writing, there was no inspiration to say, hey, you know, I want the world to see what I've done. So it was just kind of one of those things that I fell into. But that I'm glad I did.
Okay. All right, Miss Tiana, you want to ask a question to someone? I know you already asked Tom, but...
Yeah, no, actually, I don't.
She don't give a damn. Okay, all right, we got it. No problem. She just want to know about marketing. That's all she cares about. I wonder how you get your shit out there. No, it's okay. She asked.
I wanted to know more about her the erotic work that she just put out. What does she classify as being erotic?
Yeah. What do you classify as erotica? Because everybody has their own.
I've already explained what mine was about.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I have, like I said, out of the 12 books, one of them being a novella that I have out, all of them are erotica except for two of them. And
what do you consider to be erotica?
I'm getting to it.
See, it's like that. Okay.
What I consider to be erotica is going over the edge of fantasy just a little bit, one extra toe in the water. So for me, I like to have a lot of detail. I like to transport the reader into the scene. So with that, I'm not going to hold bar on the sex scenes either. To me, they're tangible. You have to be able to really feel like you can see everything. If not, better be a part of the scene. So to me, sex is beautiful, it's important in a relationship, and so if I'm going to write about it, it's going to be explicit.
Okay, I got a question for both of y'all.
Question.
I love that. I got a question for both of y'all. All right, I got a question to you both. You
for both who?
Both authors.
You guys, man. I ain't asking no more questions.
Yes, authors. Yes, authors. I'm going to put me in it so y'all won't feel all fucked up and shit. When I write a rock scene, if I don't fucking get hot writing shit or want to masturbate or get with someone with it, then I don't consider it being erotic. How do you feel about that? Each one of you answer that.
Hold on, rephrase that question again. Let me make sure I heard you correctly. So I can respond
to you correctly. You got to stop writing your erotic scenes.
If he ain't jacked off at the end of the scene, he's not. It's not erotic.
There you go.
So
there you go.
Do
if
you
I
jack off?
Off?
That's basically what he's saying.
Got my dick sucked or something. Do y'all do that? Yeah.
Oh, absolutely! It got to be steamy. Absolutely, it can't be nothing watered down. It has to be raunchy, raw, but taste.
Raunchy, raw, but taste. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But if it don't put an image in your mind, then you ain't do a good job with erotica. Myself, if you ask me that.
That's what I'm saying. So, but the question I asked was this: do you have to stop in the middle? Because it's so damn raw and raunchy that you got to relieve yourself or get some relief. Has that ever happened in your writing or what?
No, man.
That to me is a definition. If you ain't motherfucking writing some shit and you ain't fucking stopping and not getting a nut and then go forward, then it ain't going to get the person you reading to do that.
You don't know that?
Some of my books. Well, no, because I would have been told with some of the people that have read my books, they made babies reading my shit. I think I take that as an honor and a privilege and shit. But, you know, everybody's erotic stage is different. So I'm just wondering how you feel. If you're not getting hot writing it, then how do you expect somebody else to get hot reading it? That's all I was asking.
But you know what? That, like, Mr. Long asked a good question. What is erotic to you? You know what I'm saying?
That is a good question.
As simple a question that is, it is such a complex answer.
Yeah. So... I take it that you both have been there in your writing. Well, we'll put that as a thumbs up on that. All right, so.
You said
you had a question, right? Tiana, you said you had a question?
No, sir, I most certainly did not say that.
I thought I heard you say, I got a question. Oh,
no.
I'm hearing things. That was your alter ego and shit? Okay.
It must be.
Okay. Damn, I'm hearing things. I'm sorry, baby. Okay. DB, we got 30 minutes, so what you got, brother? You got anything else?
Man.
We used to have DB do five questions. We kind of got away from that. Five things to kind of break the ice when we start out. But y'all both seasoned, y'all been on Word 64. But a lot of times, DB would have these five questions because he would ask the authors, and they have to answer them with one word.
One
I know you never prepared for that, DB. No, are you prepared for that tonight?
Not at all. Not at all. Not even close.
So we won't even go on it. Sometimes it's
kind of one of the hellish days where nothing sits right.
Because we don't want to, we don't want their husband or wives to be listening, and they, why didn't he ask you about this position? You said, you told me you like to ride, and you told him you like doggy style. What's up with that? You know, it's just, we just, I don't know. Anyway. So what, this is the new endeavor that you have out now. So have you been, Tim, have you been doing any traveling, any book signings, or any you know, movement?
I'm sorry, I had trouble hearing your question. You said, am I doing what?
Okay. No, that stuff is there. I am so sorry. Please don't be upset with me. I don't know why it's like that. But the question was, have you been doing any book signing or any touring as of lately?
You know, I have only done one this year, but I have a cruise book signing coming up in September that I'm really excited about.
Ooh, so they can't get away from you. They're like, you're going to buy this book, or you're going to get off this damn ship.
Wait a minute. Did you say a cruise?
Yeah, there's an interracial romance cruise. That
I ain't on that cruise.
And some other really great authors are going to be on, and we're going to meet some of our readers and book, you know,
where are you going? Where's the cruise going? Because, see, I'm going on a cruise in September.
Okay, we meet down in New Orleans, and then we go to different places in Mexico. So it's going to be really
fun. I ain't on that one. That ain't my cruise. Anyway.
Oh, you racist bastard.
We're going to Jamaica in the first part of September, and it's a cruise where in Kansas City we do with this thing called two-stepping. So I'm going on a cruise that we'll be dancing and shit, and, you know, what happens on the boat stays on the boat. So I'm going to have some books, and we're going to be doing some reading and all of that. Plus, it's my birthday, the day we leave, and I'm going to be off the chain. So I was wondering if you luckily was on the same boat. I was like, damn, I get to meet you. But no, you're not. You're going to Mexico.
Right.
With interracial couples and shit. Interracial shit. But anyway, it's all good. All right, so so it's all good. Now, and I hope y'all don't take me seriously, because, you know, Red Snapper, this character, is just that, a character on the show. All right, yeah, I have to tell people that sometimes, because sometimes people take me for real, you know, saying some of the things, and they just trip. And I get these responses on Facebook. Damn, did he really say that? Yeah, I did. But, yeah. But, you know, it's just like authors and all, like actors. You know, you have characters you play, and that's what this is. So,
right.
So Thomas, what you got going on? You got any book signings or anything coming up there soon? Any tours or anything that's going on?
I'm going to have a few dates coming up in the fall. I will be up at the Harlem Book Fair this weekend, reaching through doing some promotion, and then I have a few signings coming up, start probably in August, taking me into the fall. But most of the information on that will be posted up on my website, www.tlongwrites.com, where you can find some of my scheduled appearances coming up in the fall.
Okay. I have a question for you, Tiana, that just came through one of the media sources. The question to you is that they said that, and I assume this is a woman, that you seem to be very reserved to be an erotic author. Why is that?
Because
where is that coming from?
Are you sure you're not the one asking that question? You're just blaming it on
someone. That's not me, because I'm bold. Now, you know where I am. This is where Sissy Radio. I am Red Snapper. I don't hold shit back. If it was from me, I would ask it. I would say it's from me. This is from a person that is listening to the show.
Right. Well, I believe that there are many facets to people's personality, and we are not even two or three dimensional. We're more complex than that. So when I'm talking with somebody, I'm not going to be necessarily speaking how I write in my books. I go into another character. I become the character that I write when I'm writing about them. So I'm not going to speak in the way that I do in my books unless I'm in the company of my husband. So, you know, I just don't do that.
Yeah.
Okay, there's the answer. Unlike me, who is not married, I would talk all kinds of shit about fucking sex and all that. And if I have a woman that is around, she'll have to be part of that as well. But anyway, that's me. Like you said, there's different characters and all that. So, yeah, so that has been answered. And I swear to you, that did not come from me. All right,
I was
so...
just kidding with you.
Okay, so Thomas, let me see. I'm trying to see if they have any questions for you. You kind of was no holds barred in the beginning. There's no questions. You seem to have answered everything that everybody seems to want to know about you, brother, so far.
Okay.
You know, they know you're a hard motherfucker. You've been writing for a while. And your erotica is hard and shit. You know, there's no problems. Okay. But, you know, I am definitely got. Okay, let me see. Oh, I'm here. Let me see if there's anybody else got anything to say. Let's see. No. Okay. But, you know, I am so happy that you guys, and we still got 25 minutes, but I'm going to tell you this now because I'm going to give you time to tell people how to get your books and where they can get them and stuff like that. If they want you to come and do a book signing or if any book clubs are interested in you, I'm going to give you that time as well. But I just want to tell you now, though, before we get too deep into it, that I really thank you both for coming on the show. You know, it's always been a pleasure to have you. And, Chan, I'm glad you came back, and I hope you come back again. You know I'm a role here. You know that. And I don't give out questions for a reason to people because I want them to shoot from the hip. I want them to come from who they are. A lot of shows will have you come on and they have these pre-done questions, and it's just too fake to me. And I'm sorry that sound is going on. I don't know what the hell that is. But anyway. Okay, another question for you again. They're just curious. They are now just curious. they said they want to go on an orgy fucking cruise. Anyway, does your husband have a problem with you writing erotica? Just curious how men feel about women writing erotica. This is another question.
Right, not
and
at all.
And it's directed to you. Okay,
not
that's
at all.
It. She said not at all. There's an answer. It was point blank, and hopefully it's not irritating. But there it is. Okay, all right. There's that answer. Now, there's another way to say orgy cruising. Are you saying that? Okay, I'm trying to read what they wrote. Is that this erotic? You said it's an interracial cruise. So is that another way to say orgy cruise? So came. You say you're going to Mexico. I don't know what they're asking. Okay, any cruise can be an orgy cruise. I mean, okay. So I'll just leave that alone because I don't understand
it.
Okay.
My God, really?
Okay.
What was the question? I missed that question.
Is this an orgy cruise?
Was it something like hedonism?
Zane does it all the time.
The whole thing, the cruise and the beach and the hotel. So
that's what they're asking. Is this cruise hedonism, basically? And she said
it's a wholesome cruise.
If somebody has the orgy cruise, that's their prerogative, but that's not what we're going to be doing. So.
Okay, all right. Like I said, I am not making these questions up. I am getting them. They're coming in. All right, so just so you know, it's no shit that I came up with, because if I want to ask them, I will ask.
I'm going to have to see you back in the show, Red.
You're going to do what? What you going
to
do?
I'm going to have to speak to you in private after this show.
Don't be insisting me.
You about to get cut.
We can talk, but don't cut me. Okay, don't cut me. Anyway, but like I said, you know, I mean, it's just, this lady is interested, so I'm just trying to accommodate, that's all.
Okay.
Yeah, that's good. You know, I mean, if I got a question, I'm going to come straight up. Now, you know me. I'm going to say, damn, are they sucking dick on this show? What were they doing? I mean, you know, I was saying like that. I wouldn't have said it the other way. So, no, I did not ask that question.
Of course, I can't ask her or whoever sent it, but I wonder if that person actually had read some of my work or they were just asking in general. I'm just kind of curious now.
How raunchy is your work?
Yeah, how raunchy is it? Is it more romantic? You explained it earlier that you get down with.
All of my stuff is different, but from what I've been told and from what the feedback is, it's pretty raunchy. A lot of people can't even believe a woman wrote it. So I guess, you know.
Okay, now you just opened up the door for the last 20 minutes. The door you just opened, I got to go in it. The difference between a man's erotic writing and a woman. How can you tell the difference? Is it more men are more about what they do to the woman in their writing, or is it what the woman is at? How do you tell the difference between a man and woman's erotica?
I think part of it is from the male aspect is I write through the male POV, his point. So that in itself, the fact that I usually take on the male character is kind of a twist because a lot of female authors don't do that. The second part of that is sometimes how you can tell if a woman or man wrote it is they may mention dick size, but it's not concentrated as much on. They'll focus more on the actual connection and what's going on. So even though it may be quote-unquote raunchy, there's a lot of sensuality wrapped into it. So it's just not,
so in other words,
you know, there's some sensuality in it.
So in other words, when a man writes it, he's talking about his 12-inch dick and all this shit, versus a woman saying the size and
what,
the size
no,
as far
no,
as...
Women
I'm
talk about size
more than
men.
No.
That's what I'm trying to find out.
Can I
finish?
Yeah.
What I was going to say was, we're going to let you finish it out. What I was saying was, because DB jumped in, as far as, I guess men, are you saying that men concentrate more on trying to emphasize the size? Because women would say the size of it as far as how it feels in their mouth or whatever, and with that experience, mm-hmm. Well, what are you saying? That's what I'm trying to, what you're trying to say? Okay.
No. What I'm saying is that was just a general example of just not maybe giving enough detail. Like they may say, you know, the man's dick is 8 inches, but there won't be a lot of detail. But men who are very good at erotica, there will be a lot more to it than that. So I'm just saying sometimes when a guy writes erotica, if it's not smooth and it's polished, it'll just come off kind of rough, you know. Kind of the same way, like if you look at a porno, you can sometimes tell if it was directed by a woman or a man. There's a certain thing you're just able to know.
Okay,
yeah,
gentlemen,
there are some.
Okay, so let me say this. Since we three men that are here, and there's 17
mm-hmm.
minutes that's left on the show, we all have written erotica. Do we agree or disagree with what she just said?
You know what? I never really even gave it that kind of thought, but I don't know. Because I couldn't even answer that, how you could tell if a female wrote it or a male wrote it.
From my
opinion,
I've been told
it's according to the writer.
Yeah.
It's according to the writer, I think, if you're able to see some writers, male writers can channel a female character as well as a female.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. And vice versa.
Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then. Let me say
this is just what I have been told by people. So they say that because my sexual descriptions are, I guess, quote unquote grittier, they sometimes think that a man had to have written it, you know. So
but I don't understand. I don't care. We'll leave that alone. I'm going to leave that piece alone because I've heard it before. Mm-hmm. I could go on and on. That could be another hour. But just to close,
mm-hmm.
the person that was asking you the questions a few minutes ago, they are apologizing. They said that they didn't mean to upset you. They just wanted to find out if there was any kind of cruises like that because I guess they were interested in doing that type of thing. Okay. All right, so. you know,
that's all you need to say. I'm on that.
That's all.
When can I get it?
Leave it alone. Yeah, so that's all they were saying.
Wow.
They just wanted to know, okay, and
mm-hmm.
she told me she
wanted to know if
you
were on it, I guess.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, they want to do it. No, they want to do it. Yeah.
Right, they want to know if she was on it.
Yeah. Okay, well, she's not in another type of cruise.
That might be a fan you want to look out for.
Well,
yeah,
this is
on Carnival. This is on Carnival, and I don't think Carnival would want to be attached to that, unfortunately. So.
Man, anything to get Carnival reputation out the garbage.
Hold it. I'm going with Carnival. I've been on a couple of cruises now.
Carnival is
the whole ship hasn't been a quote-unquote orgy cruise, but there have been some orgies on Carnival ships. Okay, now.
I'm sure
speaking from experience, no, I'm just saying. Anyway, I said I was going on a cruise in September, didn't I? Okay, anyway.
Yeah.
All right, so we got 15 minutes. What I'm going to do now is I'm going to give you guys a chance to go ahead and plug your stuff, promote yourself. And we're going to start with you, Tiana, then we're going to let Thomas, and then we'll go into closing remarks.
Okay. My name is Tiana Levine. If you're interested in my work, my last name is spelled L-A-V-E-E-N. You can find me on Facebook or Twitter. It's the best place to reach me. I also have a fan page on Facebook. And I have a bunch of different things to choose from. Most of my work is erotica and romance, interracially based. My work can be bought on Barnes & Noble's website as well as Amazon. And I also have paperbacks available.
Okay,
my
before
website,
Thomas, Continue.
My website is TianaLevine, all one word, .com.
I just want to ask you one more question, Tiana.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed that you emphasize that it's interracial. Is that the genre that you choose it to be interracial erotica, or is that because I noticed that you emphasize that a lot when you explain your genre. So is
mm-hmm.
that okay? All right, Thomas, you ready, brother?
Okay, I'm ready. My name is Thomas Long. My website is www.tlongwrites.com, where you can get autographed paperback copies of all of my work. Also, all of my titles are available on Amazon, Nook, Kobo, the iBookstore, any ebook format you can think of, they're all available. You can find my work there. And just check back and forth to my website or on my blog site for my upcoming events and where I'll be appearing at or doing signings.
All right. One last question for both of you. All right. Starting with Tiana. If you could take one of your books and make it into what you consider the best movie in your genre, which one would it be and why?
It would probably be my latest release, Forgive Me, Father, For I Have Loved. It's about a priest that falls in love with a black woman. And the reason being is because it talks about not only just romance and him, you know, falling in love with a woman, but also because it deals with the human condition, and I think a lot of people could relate to it on some level. So it would mean a lot to me, actually, if that what they did happen. I fantasized about that.
Damn. Interesting. Tom.
I've already had that experience the first time to have my first book turn into a film. But if I were to do it again, which one? I would probably say Unconventional Love. This is my new book that's about to come out within the next 2 weeks. And I would say that because it deals with an interracial relationship. Basically, it's a man involved in a relationship with one female. She's Italian. The other woman is black. And it starts off with the black guy and the black female involved in the relationship. Then he introduces the Italian woman. They get into a three-way relationship. Now he has a situation they're both pregnant by him.
Okay.
And then I throw in that he's a male escort.
Okay.
And there is the twist. So, yeah. Understood. So, you know, like I said, I just want to thank you guys for coming on. We got like 11 minutes. I'm not ready to let you go yet, though, because, you know, you guys are very interesting people, and we always have interesting shows, and men were sexy. Anytime you want to come back, now that you've been here, you're part of the family as far as I'm concerned, you can always come back. You got something new coming on. You ain't got to wait for me to ask you. You can always come to me and say, hey, I want to come on the show. I told you that before, Miss Tiana, but you chose for me to come to you again and beg you to come on the show. Anyway.
Your memory is too good.
Yeah, you see what I'm saying and all this shit. But anyway, and here we are. But Mr. Long, my brother, you definitely know you are welcome to come back. And that thing I talked about before about an all-male erotic anthology or whatever the fuck, we need to think about that. Seriously,
okay.
I would love to be part of that.
I just finished an
anthology called Fire and Desire that I did with Omar Tyree and a few other authors, Sheila Goss and Rory Sheriff and a few of us were in that. So, you know, I would love to do that. I thought that was pretty fun, you know, writing a couple of erotic stories, about 10, 20,000 words long, something. You know, however many authors you want to do, I mean, I would love to do that. We sit down and maybe think about how we want to do it. You know, I just want to get it out there, you know.
Okay.
And maybe if DV is interested, then maybe that'll get him back and really writing again, because DV like to write. He can write some shit, but you got to push DV sometimes and get his ass rolling.
You sound like another.
Yeah, I do sound like your publicist. But anyway, yeah.
Actually, let's see, how much time do we have left? 10 minutes?
Yeah.
Okay. You know we haven't counted down. He'll tell you the seconds.
Huh?
Well, it's 9 minutes and 44 seconds. Go ahead, then.
See?
Okay.
There's no callers on the line?
They're not asking questions. I've tried. They're not asking. They're just listening. They're in awe with all the shit we've been talking about.
I was just going to offer maybe to read a quick excerpt if you wanted me to.
Well, yeah, why don't you read something? Because I want to see how ironic you are. You got 5 minutes.
Oh, goodness.
It's 9 minutes
right,
left, but you got
right.
Five. Let's go.
You gave your eroticism.
Okay,
like
I'll do this fast, man. Okay.
I tell you right now, my dick
no,
will be
take
hard.
Your time.
I'm talk shit.
Take your time.
She didn't hear that. Did
don't
she?
Act. All right, I'm starting. All right. Don't act like the HBIC if you can't do what you're supposed to do. I'm trying to bust a nut. You're supposed to ride my dick like you're harboring a fugitive up in that ass. Run on it. You got up there like you were all big and bad, like you were the shit. You're moving too fucking slow now, daydreaming and shit. What are you thinking about? Either ride my goddamn dick, let me take over, or get the fuck off. Tigger wrapped in the background, everything I do, well, well, well done. Xenia narrowed her eyes, fury taking full control over her body. She smacked him hard across the face. His jawbone rocked and made her hands sting. Same head barely moved. Her eyes widened as he looked up at her, as though he was going to stomp her into the ground. His facial expression quickly changed to a wide grin. Saint laughed as he roughly grabbed her wrist before she went for second servings of a smackdown. He was playing right into his plan. You want to hit me, baby? You want to hurt me? Saint said, smirking. You're mad because I own that pussy now? You can hit me. It won't change anything. All you're doing is turning me off. You're marked, baby. You're mine. Now ride my goddamn dick.
Interesting. Is that another?
That was very profound.
So what do you think? What do you think? We got 7 minutes. Okay. What do you think about this?
I think that she was very articulate and clearly got her point across.
Absolutely. But I was waiting on some shit like he was licking that pussy like it was out of space.
I'm gonna tell her what she should have been
like.
Saying.
That was goddamn ass. You know,
different
expert. That was good though. Look, that was some great shit. Don't get me wrong. I'm not doubting it. That was awesome. Mm-hmm. And coming from a woman, I would have thought that since you put that out earlier about a man woman writing a different way. To me, I think it would sound like it was coming from a man because what you're using the word dick and how he was like wanting us to it. But women, if you hear it enough, shit, you can write like a man. If a man is doing that shit to your ass, so it's no problem. So go ahead, DB. I know you got something.
Man, you know what? Y'all said enough because, you know, you took my line. I was about to say. I thought a man wrote that, but yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and let that one go. Ultimately, there is no, like, I hate when people try to gauge, you know, your sensual things, because when you're in that moment, it's just you and the keyboard and what you're writing, and it's hot.
Right.
You know,
and
but
and
whenever
you're
trying to, but
it
never,
yeah.
It never translates whenever you're reading it. So sometimes,
mm-hmm.
as writers, we have to close our eyes and listen with our, really listen. You know, with our ears, because all the time, you know what we thinking? You know what I would have said there? I would have said something different. You know what I said there? I would have said something different. You know, we're so analytical that way. You know, but ultimately, I liked it. You know, I had to close down my brain and close my eyes and listen to what you were saying, because if I didn't, I'd have been like, I would have did it with word choice. I would have did a different word choice. I'd have did it, you know what I'm saying? And that's just how I am. And there's nothing against you. You're an awesome writer. It's just that whenever you're in that moment, it is so hard to without us reading it, you know, to translate exactly what you were feeling when you were writing it, unless we're right there reading the book with you.
But even I think a lot of that comes because you are an author. Now, when you have people that's out there that's reading it, you know, they may think that way to a point, they may not. But I think that because you are an author is the reason why you did it the way you did, by closing your eyes and all that. And like I said, this shit was awesome. I loved it. And also the person that was giving you the questions about the cruise, saying that they put that shit on the shelf, they want to buy it. reserved it. It's theirs. Now she says, I'm horny as hell now thinking about you. Oh, she's talking about me. Anyway, all right, now.
You're like, you ain't supposed to read that part.
Horny as hell thinking about some dick. Somebody's dick anyway. Okay. There's somebody in the chat room now saying that Quan730 said, yes, I wanted to ask Thomas, as having been around for a little while, does he feel that the game is on the upswing or the downswing compared then and now? I don't know if this is Quan the author or somebody named Quan is just out there. Can you answer that real quick?
I mean, what was the question?
The question was, having been around for a little while, does he feel that the game is on the upswing or downswing compared them to then and now? This is from Quan.
I think it's on a downswing because of just the market being so saturated with so much poor quality work. And I think it's going to take more quality authors to step back up into the game and put out quality work. Don't worry about those numbers as much up front, but just keep putting the consistent work, because the real hardcore avid readers, they starting to see through the games of some of the 99-cent stuff that's going on and all these silly marketing strategies that's just taking away from quality work.
I agree wholeheartedly.
Everything goes, when you've been around the game long enough, you know that this thing seems like a pendulum, and there's a cycle for everything that goes around. Nothing that you're seeing now, people, ooh, they so big, they're this, that, and the other, they start. I seen those individuals 10 years ago, and I see them now, they're on the milk cart.
Right, understood. And just to make it known, this is the only client. He said, the only one and only.
Oh, that's my brother.
So, yeah,
absolutely.
That's your boy.
That's
so
my brother.
It's an honor. It's an honor.
That's my man.
Why didn't you call him?
Absolutely.
Quan, you should have called him, brother. You should have called him. But anyway, we got like 3 minutes. You know, I wish you would have called in with that question. You didn't have to be on the chat, but that's cool, brother. I'm honored that you did what you did. So,
you got to get an urban fiction forum going on here one night, man.
Well, I want to, man. You know, but it's hard to get you, brother, because I try to get urban fiction people a lot of times, and it's like
y'all
so busy.
You just let us know what you want to do, and we set it up.
I got some time for y'all, man, in a couple of months, man. Not maybe a month from now.
I'm getting back with you.
You want to do it next week? Let's do it next week. How about that?
Yes.
Let's do it next week.
We ain't got to hold nothing back.
Okay, next
a couple of months. I
don't
forgot about it. Well, you supposed to have a what?
No.
When?
We're going to do it next month.
Okay.
Not next month. Next week. We're going to do it next Monday is what I'm trying to say. All right, same channel right here.
We can get it done.
He said, based on his response, it is safe to say that the artists who aren't taking heed to how the game is played are in for a rude awakening. That means his ass is coming. All right, I like that.
Let's get it going on next week.
So we'll make sure I get that information out. You know the information. Same time next week, same phone number. Call in. We'll do it right here. And we thank you so much for coming on. And we definitely thank you. And you are welcome to come back anytime you wish, baby, and talk as much shit as you want. Be as reserved as you want to be. We know you in the game, and you for real. We're going to do this thing, and we're going to keep it going because that's how we do it. Well, we're sexy. And, you know, we just like it. You know, I enjoy when people come on, good people come on the show, and they want to do their thing, and that's what we do. So that's how it is. So we're going to have Quan next week, and we're going to have Thomas Long back. And if you want to come back next week, Terry, you can too. We'll just make it a party. Shit, how about that? You know,
I might just do that.
Okay, not a problem. Now, don't say you are and don't now, because I'll be talking shit. You know me. You can call me if you want to. You can call me like you did this time.
Call in at 9:57 next time.
Whatever you want to do. And that's cool. So we're going to go ahead on and shut it down. But that we thank y'all so much for coming on. And that's
all right. Thank you for having me on there, man. Everybody have a
good night. I'm going to go to the next one.
I'm going to